Live from Music Row, it is Caregivers with Hope, the nation's number one show for caregivers here on 1510 WLAC. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience. Not 1 year, not 2 years, not one decade, not two decades, but 3 decades of putting myself between someone who is suffering an even worse disaster. So I understand the needs of caregivers out there, and it is a crushing thing to do this. How do you stay healthy? Who is helping the caregiver? What does it look like to help the caregiver? That's what this show is all about, and we're glad to have you with us. It is a real treat. If you want to be on the show, the number is 800-688-9522. If you're listening on iHeart across the country, 800-688-9522. You know, I don't do this show alone. I always have himself in the booth with us, the Sultan of Sound, the Grandmaster of Groove, the Fuhrer of Funk, and a guy who is wearing a really sporty ankle bracelet provided for from the state government. John Butler, everyone.
You ever spend a night in lockup?
I mean, anything? I can't even get through these intros with you anymore. I just can't get through them.
Oh, that is a disparaging comment, and it is on record, and you will be hearing from my legal team, my well worked legal team,
frickin' frat attorney at law. Yeah, hey, yeah. Listen, glad to have you with us. We got a great lineup today here. Are you well?
I am, as a matter of fact.
I didn't see the count cycle.
No, you did not. I am a little. I did a lot of work this morning. I'm not interested in getting any extra exercise in because I mowed my lawn this morning for the first time this season.
Well, I'm sure it. What is it? Jeff Foxworthy says, if you mow your lawn and find more than 3 cars,
you might. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I've got a fabulous show. This is Autism Awareness Month.
It here, is.
And in light of that, I have invited someone to come on the show that I'm very excited about. Babs Tierno is with us, and she is the executive director, bringing some real heavyweight understanding to this issue that's affecting so many. 1 in 68 children are diagnosed with autism somewhere on the spectrum. And that's up, I think, from just less than 30 years. It used to be 1 in 88. So now it's increasing. And it's a crushing issue affecting a lot of families. And so we're going to spend a lot of time today talking about this. So, Babs, are you with us?
I am. I'm here. Thanks for having me.
What a treat to have you on the show and to talk about this issue. This is not something you fell into. This is something that is very personal to you. And can we just jump right into that and let you tell folks your story?
Sure. So I have experience in the nonprofit world, and then I became a parent a little over 6 years ago, and he was pretty unique from birth, and we've worked our way up to an autism diagnosis. He was diagnosed at about 2 with autism, and it's been a journey ever since. So that's our story, and we also have a 1-year-old now who it looks highly likely he is on the spectrum as well, but we won't know for a while.
Well, and how long does it normally take to be able to determine that?
Well, so autism is a behavioral diagnosis. There's no test for autism. There's no blood test. And so it's just a matter of observing a child over a period of time, doing some developmental testing, seeing how they're progressing, hitting milestones. And then usually between 18 and 36 months, a pediatrician can make a reliable diagnosis as to whether or not the child has autism.
What are some of the signs that would cause folks to even start asking the question?
Yeah, so early on, you're going to see in an infant, they're not going to gesture when they want something. They're not going to point at something. They're not going to, when you turn your head to look at something, typically another person would turn to see what you're looking at. You're not going to see that with infants with autism. There's delayed speech or no speech at all. There could be bizarre speech, echolalia, which is the repeating of sounds and phrases that you hear. Or inverting pronouns. So if you said, do you want to go outside or go to your room? And they answer, go to your room. They don't change the pronoun to go to my room. So just some interesting speech and communication deficits.
We're talking with Babs Tierno here. She is Executive Director for Autism Tennessee, and this is National Autism Awareness Month. Also, you guys have a pretty big event coming up.
We do.
It's next weekend, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I'm
Are you ready?
Crazy planning for. I don't know if I'm ready, but I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
Tell me about this event that's coming up.
It's Pieces of Hope. It's an annual gala that we do. It's on April 23rd in Franklin, and it's just a good time for a great cause. Our entire mission at Autism Tennessee is to celebrate autism. We want to celebrate what autism can do. There's a lot of things that autism struggles to do or makes progress in a difficult, timely manner, but we want to celebrate what autism can do at every opportunity, and so that's what this night is. It's just a night of fun, silent auction, live auction, a great 80s band, should be a fun time, dancing, open bar, dinner by Tzatziki's, should be a great time.
Well, first off, dinner by Tzatziki's is wonderful because I like Tzatziki's, and a great 80s band. Will there be 80s hair involved in this?
There will. So the 80s band is an interactive band. They actually dress the part.
I'm sorry to hear that, Babs.
Well, you can see where both Peter and I perked up immediately when you said that.
I survived the 80s, but, you know, you were just a child in the 80s.
I was just a child in the 80s.
See, I remember it with clarity. And it was, whew, I can't believe people are nostalgic for the 80s. that is exciting that you guys are going to do this. But we're talking with Babs Tierno from Autism Tennessee here. This is a subject that is near and dear to a lot of hearts. It is a tough thing for families. If you want to be on the show and if you got any questions, please feel free to call in. The number is 800-688-9522. Maybe you have a family member who's going through some things like this and you don't know what to say. You don't know how to talk to them. You're not sure exactly what's going on. This is the time to do it. So feel free to call in 800-688-9522. 800-688-9522. All right, Babs, I got a couple of questions for you.
All right.
First off, if somebody wants to go and find out about this event that you guys are having, the best place to go is just to the website?
Yes, just autismtn.org. And then the first thing you'll see on the page is information about the event.
AutismTN, like in Tennessee, autismtn.org. And you'll see the stuff about the event that's coming up this week. All right. This is very personal to you. And I want to start just jumping into some questions for you here. So let's just start with the first one. What are some of the biggest challenges facing parents of children with autism?
Isolation. Just one word, isolation. That's our biggest barrier. I mean, it's just you can't predict the environment when you leave your house. And so simple things like the grocery store, when you have to take a child with autism, and by child, even an adult child with autism, you just don't know what those triggers are going to be that are going to set that person off. And the perception and the way that you feel being the caregiver of an individual with autism is you feel like it's an invisible diagnosis. So when you look at that person, they look typical. And so we have this sense of, I need to protect and care for my person with autism. I need to protect and care for myself. And I need to, for whatever reason, explain to everyone around me why this is happening. And that sense of guilt or perception is just this added stress that families with autism undergo constantly.
So you isolate yourself. The disease itself is isolating to the one who's being diagnosed with this because they're isolated. And then the family becomes isolated, and I guess out of just concern, embarrassment, all types of feelings that go on out in the public. Most people seem to be understanding when your son. I assume you've had a situation where your son has had an episode somewhere out in public.
Yesterday, actually.
Yesterday. Well, so it's fresh in your mind.
It is fresh in my mind. I will say, yesterday's the first time in his 6.5 years of life that I had wished he had on like a big T-shirt, or maybe I had a big T-shirt or a big hat that said, "Don't judge me, it's autism." I mean, my heart broke for him. And then my heart broke for him because I was concerned about everyone else instead of how to make it better for him. And I just couldn't be an appropriate caregiver for him because I was consumed with the situation in its entirety. Haircuts are typically very difficult for individuals with autism. I mean, if you think about it, why do we let strangers come at us with scissors close to our face? And, I mean, for you and I, we trust them, they're not going to hurt us. But for an individual with autism that has those social deficits, it why would I let that person come near me with?
Well, and in my case, with my hair, I have several legal waivers that are involved with people.
I was going to say, your hair is insured.
Yeah, it's with great hair comes great responsibility.
Oh yeah.
Well, no, I can understand it, and you know, I think the thing is, Babs, is you're telling me that my heart breaks for you, because that puts you in such a horrific circumstance. This is your son. You're frustrated. You're brokenhearted. You're trying to somehow make sure that the people around don't, you know, react poorly, and it's an uncontrollable event that you want to wield control in, but you can't, and then you're just heartbroken. And
right.
I imagine there are just a lot of tears on a regular basis.
Yes, mine, and his, my husband's. There's a lot of tears.
And so, you know, this is something that is common across the board here with family members. And now, my situation as a caregiver is not with autism. My situation is much different. So I'm always moved to hear the stories of other caregivers who are, you know, we're battling some of the same principles, because we all deal with isolation. Isolation is a common thread I talk a lot about on this show, because the nature of disability in general isolates us from our community. But you guys, it seems like when you're dealing with autism, have an extra layer of isolation. And my heart breaks for you. I'm so grateful that you're willing to come on the show and just open up your family's life and tell your story a little bit, so people can see this and realize that, okay, you know what, when we're out in a public situation and somebody has a child that's acting out, let's just not be so quick to jump down the throat of a parent. Or somehow stare with disapproving looks or whatever. We have no idea the drama that's going on, and we could try to be a little bit more kind and helpful and understanding. Listen, we're going to take a quick break here. We're talking with Babs Tiernoh, the Executive Director of Autism Tennessee. This is National Autism Awareness Month. There's so many people that are dealing with this, and we wanted to spend some time and talk about this as from the caregiver standpoint. Grateful that she's here. 800-688-9522. 800-688-WLAC if you want to be on the show. 800-688-9522. I'm glad you're here. This is Peter Roseberger. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff Foxworthy. 65 million Americans serve as a caregiver for a sick or disabled loved one. If you're one of them, then listen to my friend Peter Rosenberger's show here on 1510 WLAC. He's got redneck tendencies, but he's really good at what he does.
Welcome back to the show for Caregivers About Caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience to help you stay strong as a caregiver. There are 65 plus million of us. We're putting ourselves between a vulnerable loved one and even worse disaster. How do you stay healthy in that thing? What does it look like to help the caregiver? And that's what this show is all about. If you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522, 800-688-9522. We're talking with Babs Tiernoh. She is Executive Director of Autism Tennessee. That's autismtn.org. This is National Autism Awareness Month, and she's a mother of two. She has one son who has already been diagnosed with autism, and a second one, it looks like, maybe as well. So she's coming at this thing from a great deal of understanding as running the organization and then as a mom. And we just talked about in the last segment there, one of the greatest challenges facing a parent of a child with autism is the isolation. Autism in itself is an isolating diagnosis. I mean, that what this child is dealing with isolates them from everyone. And then you have the added isolation of the family doesn't want to go out in public because you never know what's going to cause an episode. I mean, she was just talking about getting a haircut. You know, that's a frightening thing, and there are a lot of tears involved. So, Babs, I really appreciate you being here with us and taking the time on Sunday afternoon here to do this. But this is such an important issue that's affecting so many people. And
it's shocking how many people are affected.
Well, and I was looking at some of the numbers. It back 30 years ago, it was 1 in 88 children. Now it's 1 in 68 children.
That's right.
Do you, what's going on with this? Do you have any thoughts on why this is becoming much more prevalent, or what's going on with this?
Well, I don't really know that it is becoming more prevalent. I think it's better diagnosed. I think that it was a shot in the dark. We were guessing with a lot of younger children because we didn't have a lot of research back then. And so some of them got an ADHD diagnosis that was probably an autism diagnosis, and some got a, you know, bipolar diagnosis that was probably really an autism diagnosis. And so we just have better science, better research, and better doctors with more information. So I truly don't believe that there's this rise in children affected by autism. I think it's we do a better job.
That is, I love that. That's a great response. And let me ask you something about the school situation. Do you see, even just in the little bit of time that you've been doing this as a parent, do you see continued strides in the public school situation being able to handle the needs of children with autism?
I'm new to it. My son's a kindergartner right now, and I think that the teachers who teach because they love children are incredible. Like, my son's teacher is absolutely incredible. She is so proactive when it comes to him. But I will say, from an administrative standpoint, it's a burden. It's a cost burden to the school system to educate children like ours. They require more. They require more personnel. I mean, when it comes down to the dollars and cents of it for administrators, I think they're really reactive. They'd rather wait and see with minimal effort what's going to happen, and then, you know, work into what's actually required for our children to succeed. And I think it takes a few years to really get a school system to trust you as a parent and to really get to know your child. So I'm hopeful that our situation is going to just keep getting better and better.
Are you all involved in legislative type efforts at Autism Tennessee?
Oh, yes, we definitely are, yes.
Do you see a fairly good? This is the loaded question here, but that's all right. It's just twixt us. Do you see good reception from state and local officials on this?
Oh yes, and the problem is they don't know anything about it. And as soon as you hear and you learn, this is what autism is, this is what it looks like, and this is what it takes for autism to be successful. You can't deny any intervention that is required for this child to be successful, and all of the research that's backing up early intervention and one-on-one situations and discrete trial training, all of the science that is being brought to the table, our legislators and our Department of Education is really responsive. I mean, they're listening for sure. It's just a matter of, you know, how do we pay for it? How do we, you know, get it into the school system in a functional way for these children?
Well, that brings me to another question here. What happens after the child turns 18?
So if your child qualifies for what we call an IEP, an Individualized Education Plan, they can actually remain in the school system until the age of 21, which is great. That's something our education system is really doing to help these kids into adulthood, becoming more independent over a period of time versus you're 18, we're done with you. So that's something that they're really doing a good job with. It's not 18 that we're looking at it for some of these children, it's 21. So that's a real positive thing. But the services decline greatly. The number of service providers that work with adults diagnosed with autism, there's not very many of them. And so we have been focusing a lot of our efforts at Autism Tennessee on unifying and the network of resources for adults so that we can be more proactive and less reactive.
Well, and I want to talk about that a little bit more in the next segment here, but we're at the bottom of the hour. You can stick around with us, right?
Sure.
Okay, listen, thank you so much. We're talking with Babs Tierno. This is Autism Tennessee, autismtn.org. If you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522. Maybe you know someone who is dealing with this right now, and they're just new into this. This is a great show for them to tune into. So let people know this is the information that we want to put out there. You know, I've been a caregiver for 30 years, and there are so many different kinds of caregivers. In my case, I deal with a wife with severe trauma and physical disabilities and so forth. But there are lots of different scenarios out there, and each caregiver comes to the table with a lot of heartache. That's what this show is about, is how do you help the caregiver? And we caregivers, we struggle with a lot of the same things. No matter what the person we love is struggling with, we caregivers have a very specific set of needs and things that we can address, and that's what this show is all about. We're going to be right back. Don't go away. This is Peter Rosenberg. I'm so glad you're with us. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show for Caregivers About Caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Caregivers with Hope. And That's Jackson Browne, Running on Empty. And I did that one just for caregivers today. It is, sometimes we feel like we are just running on empty. We're talking with Babs Tierno today. She is the executive director of Autism Tennessee here in Middle Tennessee. And she's also a parent of one child who's been diagnosed with autism and looks like a second one may be as well. So she understands that which she speaketh of. And we're glad to have you with us, Babs. If you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522, 800-688-9522. Babs, you ever feel like you're running on empty?
Yes, all the time.
Only on days that end with Y.
Right.
All right, let me ask you a couple of questions in this segment here. And these are kind of hard-hitting questions, but this is where people live here. A lot of times with caregivers, I found a lot of people, particularly when they're taking care of aging parents, they kind of hold their breath and try to get through it until that parent goes on and dies, and then they can get on with their life. That's the mentality a lot of people have with their parents. But when you have a special needs child, and I've learned this a lot from my brother and his wife, who have a 27-year-old daughter with cerebral palsy, and she has severe cognitive issues and so forth. I mean, she's almost like taking care of a giant baby, uh-huh. And she's 27. When you have a child with special needs, that's a life sentence. I mean, that's not going to go away. Your whole life now is changed by this. This is your life. There's no waiting to get through this and get on with your life. This is your life.
Right.
That's
it's the opposite. We don't, you want them to succeed and want them to, we don't want them to go anywhere.
Well, and you can't just deal with that with one phone call. That's a process to deal with. How did you deal with this? When you guys realized what was going on, I mean, I know there are tears and all that kind of stuff, but where do you turn to? Who do you talk to? Who do you sit down with and deal with the emotional trauma of knowing that this is what's in store for you and this is how it's going to be?
Well, it's cyclical. So you go through that grief process immediately when you get the diagnosis, and then you go to Dr. Google and you become an expert, and then you go through cycles of what you thought it was going to look like and what it does look like. And I don't know that I'm through it in order to give you an answer. I think it's a constant battle of, at every milestone that you expected to celebrate at a certain age, or that you see other people's children celebrating, you go through it again. I don't know that I'm through it in order to say how I got through it.
Well, I don't know that anybody, for those of us in the long-term realm of caregiving, I think that it's a prolonged event of grief, and
a cycle of grief,
and it's just part of it. I deal with that when I've talked about it with my brother and my sister-in-law with their daughter, that he's never going to be able to walk her down the aisle, that kind of thing. And those are proms and so forth. Those are hard things. We would be well served as a society to be sensitive to those things for people, those kinds of dates. It may seem like a small thing, but it's not. These are big things, playing baseball and all those kinds of things we take for granted. And so I recommend support groups a lot to folks, because I think that you gain so much strength by hearing other people's journeys. Are there good support groups that you guys can connect people to in this world?
Yes. So part of what we do at Autism Tennessee is we have a pulse on every community in Middle Tennessee, what's going on with their autism population. And so when someone calls our hotline, we have a hotline where an actual parent who's going through this answers the phone and talks to people. And she'll say, this is a support group in your area, or there's two, or there's three, or there's an online group that might be a good fit for you, and can really tailor what the needs of the person who's calling and what's available to them locally.
That is, and is that hotline 24/7?
No, it's not 24/7. She works from 10 to 3, Monday through Thursday. But if you leave a voicemail, she'll call you back. You can also get us on Facebook or send her an email, and she'll respond. And, I mean, she's a me too. She's a person who's literally been through what you're going through, and it came out on the other side. So it's great to talk to someone who is coming at it from that perspective.
Yeah, because it's not theory, and
no,
that is a wonderful thing. So if somebody wanted to access this, do they just call go to the website and to see all that there, or what?
There's a phone number. We have a toll-free number. I don't have that one memorized, but our office phone number is 615-385-2077. And then her extension is 1, and so she'd just leave her a voicemail, and she'll call you back. It's a pretty incredible thing that we provide to just anybody. If it's a teacher who's like, I don't know how to handle this kid in the classroom, or a grandma who says, I just don't get it. My daughter keeps telling me this is what we're going through. And so she can just be that me too for everyone who's going through this, either new or has been through it for 10 years and just needs to talk it out with someone who gets it. We provide that.
615-385-2077.
Yes.
Extension 1. If you want that, just to have somebody who gets it. I mean, they're doing it. I mean, that is a tremendous resource for you guys to have. So, that's another thing is I suggest to go back to what you said, one of the biggest challenges we face is isolation. In isolation, we make bad decisions. Every caregiver struggles with isolation on some level, and that's when we make bad decisions. And so I'm so glad that you guys are trying to push out into that isolation for folks and give them a resource to be able to do this with. Let me ask you, I'm going to go from preaching to meddling here. One of the big things that I push very hard is to push back against that isolation and get involved in church and community and so forth. And sadly, a lot of churches struggle in this area and don't exactly make the family feel welcome, don't know exactly what to do. And that's a hard thing. That is a hard thing because you would think of all places that would be the place to go. If you could say to pastors and church leaders that are listening right now, one thing, what would you say? And it doesn't have to be theological. Let's just be practical.
I think if it's one thing that I could say to them, it would be learn more about what autism looks like, because it looks like every other kid. I mean, it just what it looks like. And then once you know what it looks like and how they individuals with autism perceive their environment, you intuitively can make change. You can turn the music down in the foyer. You can, make the lights less bright. You could have your caregivers be a little more patient and kind and using calm words. And you just change everything. When you realize I'm talking to an individual with autism, you change how you interact with them. Your patience goes up. Your demands go down.
That's just beautiful. I mean, that's education is empowerment. I mean, that's how we're going to do this. We got to learn about this thing and not freak out about it. We don't have to get real weird about it. I remember one time you'll laugh at this, Babs. Gracie and I were on nursery duty at our church, and we sat in. They have nursery workers that are professional nursery workers, but people in the church would volunteer to go. Gracie and I were on nursery duty for like the toddlers or something, 3 or 4 years old. Well, my wife has 2 prosthetic legs, and she never wears skin covering on them. And so they look kind of like the Terminator legs or something. That's what I call them. And the kids were just fascinated. So she took one of them off and passed it around to the kids and let them just touch it. And it was, it was really endearing to see this, because I think that's how you do it. You just learn, and you learn from each other, and you recognize, okay, yeah, we're dealing with this. This is what it looks like. It's not scary. It's kind of, it is what it is. And here's how we deal with it. And I think this is something I'm on a real mission to do, to help pastors and church leaders know what to do to make people feel welcome. The last thing I would want for anyone with a child with autism, if the family works up the courage to come to our church, that they would feel welcome. They wouldn't feel ostracized. They wouldn't feel like everybody's staring at them. They could just come on in. We don't care. It's all right. Come on in. And my brother has told me that their church situation was so endearing to them because, Kelsey would act out sometimes, or she, sometimes just bodily things happen, when you're dealing with somebody with a lot of disabilities and so forth. And everybody's just, it's no big deal. It's okay. It's all right. And, some people will be mortified by that. But when you see people loving people and caring for them in it and recognizing this, and we're going to help this family through this, that's what I'm on a mission to do. That is the church being the church. And so thank you for those good words of just learning and educating people about it. This is how you do it. And practical things like the lights, who thinks like that? I remember, people that stairs, how long did it take us to figure out that, you know, stairs can be hard for people in wheelchairs, you know, build a ramp, you know, I mean, it's just practical stuff, it, you know, so thank you for that. Listen, we're going to take another quick break here. We're talking with Babs Tierno. She is the executive director of Autism Tennessee. That's autismtn.org. If you want some more information on that, and they have, like she said, she's got a number there. You could call in. You could talk to somebody who's really going through this. They understand it. This is their life. They have somebody there to answer your questions and to talk you through it. Even if you're just having one of those kind of meltdowns, you need to talk to someone about it. If you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522. 800-688-9522. This is Peter Rosenberger. Don't go away. We'll be right back. There's more to come.
I'm Gracie Rosenberger. Nearly 20 years ago, I walked for the first time on two artificial legs, and I'll never forget that day. That day, I not only walked, but I happened to see a documentary about Princess Diana's work with amputees in Southeast Asia. Watching her with people who now looked just like me, I knew in my heart God was calling me to reach fellow amputees with practical help through prosthetic limbs and the life-changing message of the gospel. Since 2005, we've done just that through Standing with Hope. It's the Evangelical Prosthetic Limb Outreach my husband Peter and I founded. By training and equipping local workers in developing countries, we are changing lives one leg at a time. We also collect used limbs and we work with inmates at a local prison. They volunteer to disassemble the limbs in order to recycle the usable parts. A woman with a broken body working with broken lives in a prison. To reach other broken lives in order to point to the one who was broken for us. That's what's happening every day at Standing with Hope. And we invite you to participate with us. Go to standingwithhope.com, please, and learn how you can get involved. I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and by God's grace, I am Standing with Hope.
For more information, visit standingwithhope.com.
Welcome back to the show for Caregivers About Caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience to help you stay strong as you take care of someone who is vulnerable. Hey, listen, we're talking with Babs Tierno here of Autism Tennessee. It's been a great time with her. We're going to continue on that in just a moment. If you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522. We're going to catch a quick phone call. Tim, what you got on your heart and mind?
Hey, I want to give a shout out to the people at United Cerebral Palsy of Middle Tennessee. I had a friend who was paralyzed from the neck down in a car accident about almost 3.5 years ago. The other driver had no insurance, and you can imagine the financial burdens they were in. United Cerebral Palsy gave all the material. We had someone that wanted to build the ramp. We just need the materials, and they provided them all for free, but they'll even come and build the ramp for you. And it's you know, they could do it to code, so it's the right thing, the right turning deck, the right slope and everything, and they are just great at it.
You know, I used to be on their board of directors. Great group of folks over there. And so thank you for that shout out, Tim. I really do appreciate that. That is great. Those are the kind of resources we want to make sure people know about, that, you know, don't struggle with stairs. You know, there are people that will come and build a ramp. They will help you do these things. There are resources out there. And UCP, Middle Tennessee, is one of them. They had a great, I think they did a lot of Boy Scouts, did that with them. A lot. And then also 101 Mobility, one of our longtime sponsors, they come and do that and so much more, and wonderful folks. So thank you, Tim, for that. Hey, back to Babs. Are you still with us?
I am.
Thanks for not leaving, Babs. I appreciate that very much. Let me ask you a quick question. We're going to get into the lightning round here in just a minute because we're going to winding up here. But what surprised you about autism? When you guys went into this as your family, you know, we've heard about autism for years, and I think that movies feature characters, so forth, like Rain Man and so forth. But when it came to your family, what surprised you about it?
Well, with my family, I think I had a more profound epiphany outside of my family. In my role at Autism Tennessee, I've gotten to meet several kids who are nonverbal. And for me, until about last year, nonverbal meant you didn't understand. And that's not at all what's happening. And just because you can't talk doesn't mean you don't get it. Your brain works perfectly fine. It's just not wired for speech. That's the thing that stuck with me the most about autism that has just been shocking to me. It's just, even having a child with autism, he's verbal. So it never occurred to me that just because you can't talk doesn't mean you don't totally understand what's happening around you.
You know, I guess I didn't even think about that myself. And so I think that is that's one of those refreshing moments to hear that people realize that you can't talk, but the mind is still working. And again, that feeds that whole isolation thing that is autism, the right. communication thing. What about nonverbal communication if they can't speak? What does that look like?
So nonverbal communication is difficult for many individuals with autism. So, like, my son is verbal, but his communication skills nonverbally are confusing. Like, if you shook your head no at him, he will look at you and say, use your words, I don't know what that means. So he can't decipher nonverbal communication, such as shaking your head or shrugging your shoulders, or he'll say, is that your mad face? Is that your happy face? He can't read those. Mm. And so even for children who are very verbal, they struggle with that nonverbal communications. How we communicate with our bodies is something that individuals with autism really struggle with. And so I don't know that we know, other than using alternate forms of communication, how nonverbal children are interpreting our body language. And so that's interesting. I don't know that I've ever really delved into that.
Hmm. All right, well, listen, in the little bit of time left, I've got to go through the lightning round here with you. Ready?
Okay. Right.
This is the lightning round of things gripping caregivers. These are parents that now are dealing with this, siblings, extended family members, whatever. But this is the world now that you're in with autism, and I want to hit you up with a couple of these topics. Number one, fear.
Mm-hmm.
First thing that comes to your mind when you deal with fear, how does that grip a person that has now have this diagnosis in their family?
Fear for an autism family probably looks different in that 50% of children diagnosed with autism wander from a safe space, and drowning is a cause of death that happens very often when children wander away. So elopement is a huge fear for our families, and just being safe and being in an environment that can keep your child safe.
So you have to stay in a heightened state of vigilance all the time.
Correct. Yes.
And I mean, that's where my heart breaks for you.
Hypervigilance and risk management. It's constant, you know, assessing your environment.
Well, and I know that, you know, John, I haven't told you this yet, but my friend Jay Wasak, I call it Inspector Gadget, he and I have been talking a lot about this particular subject for this kind of event, to have to use tech for this.
Absolutely.
And to wire the home to give parents a little bit more added vigilance through tech, and so they can get some sleep, yeah. You know, because this is elopement is a and I think, what is the stat I heard that the deaths that occur when a child with autism elopes, 90% of them are in water.
That's correct. Yeah.
And you know, and I oh so okay so fear you're dealing with fear, guilt.
Yes. So guilt, and that's a genetic issue. I would say guilt with an autism parent is there's now some evidence that says that it's a genetic disorder, that a lot of the issues we see run through family lines. And so the guilt you feel is it, did I cause this? Could I have prevented this? Or just owning your piece of the pie.
Mm. Resentment.
Yeah, that kind of goes with the guilt one of if it's not you, if you find that genetic component in your partner, family tree, I think that you do go through some resentment of, you know, you could have prevented this in some way, which you couldn't have, but I definitely see resentment being something that married couples go through as they parent.
And the last one on this is loss of identity.
Wow.
I know, I'm hitting you hard here, Babs.
But that's the big one. We talk about that
We talk about this a lot for caregivers stinger, because we get lost in someone else's story.
That's right.
And it's so easy to do that. I know. I've been lost in my wife's story, and I can't tell you how many people have asked about her over the years. I mean, I just couldn't count it. But I can tell you the ones that ask about me.
That's, I was just thinking, like, the number of people, I have a small circle, about five people that I can count on who will say, how are you? And they don't accept fine or great as an answer because they know it's a lie. And so having that group of people who know full and well that your life is not fine and your life is not great and wanting to delve into it. So I'd say I probably have about five people in my life who are concerned with me.
Well, and that you have to cultivate that. That's not something that happens by accident. You cultivate
right.
those kind of relationships, and they're work. There's not a magic bullet for this. This is just work. But it's not it's not something that's impossible to do. You can have good, healthy relationships. That's what this show is all about, is helping us take healthy steps as caregivers. And it's a comprehensive thing. We didn't even get into all the financial stuff and all these things. And I'm going to have you back on the show. But I wanted we only got like a minute and a half. John, we got about a minute and a half. And
I've already played the legal ID. We're not actually on the air.
he shut us down already. We've got just a little bit of time left. What is one thing that you would like to say to families who are just now stepping into this world?
Me too. That's what I needed to hear whenever we first got our diagnosis, is you are not alone. There are so many of us out there. And if you need a me too, I can be that me too for you, because I needed a me too. I needed someone who could look at me and say, not I understand, not I've been there, not just me too. I feel everything you feel, and I hope everything you hope, and that just the me too.
Me too. Folks, that is what we're all about at Caregivers with Hope. You can go see more at caregiverswithhope.com. Me too. You are not alone. You know, I love that in Scripture it says, yea, that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We're not alone. And Babs Tierno from Autism Tennessee, you have just, what a privilege you've given us today to walk with you through this a little bit and to share your own heart with us. For more information, go to autismtn.org, autismtn.org, or write this number down, 615-385-2077. These people are doing amazing work. They are there for you. Please, please, please go check them out. Babs, you're going to have to come back.
I'll do it.
All right. Listen, I want you to know how much I appreciate you coming on. Thank you all for listening every Sunday afternoon. This is what we're about, Caregivers with Hope. We want to strengthen the family caregiver. Caregiverswithhope.com. We'll see you next week.